Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.
Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Razvi and his father, Raz, have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here's your host, tax attorney Daniel Razvi.
Welcome back, everyone, to Higher Ground Financial Group, our radio show with Raz and Daniel. Daniel's a tax attorney, and we focus really on retirement income, what are the different pitfalls and advantages and things like that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about mortgages today. You know, a lot of people think, well, I want to retire and not have a mortgage. That's just so much peace of mind. It would be so good if when I'm retiring, I have no mortgage to pay. I'll be living free and clear.
When I see a client with a paid-off house, my stress level goes up. It feels to me that you should be more stressed having a paid-off house than you would otherwise.
And why is that? Why would a paid-off house give you more stress?
Well, when I have a paid-off house, that means I have a large chunk of money that is not invested and that is not accessible without some really difficult methods to access it.
But isn't it growing?
No, the equity in your house is never going to grow. That is a myth. The equity in your house never is going to grow.
What you talking about?
If you have a house, the house goes up in value, and then it will go up in value regardless of what you owe on it.
So the equity is not growing, it's being added.
Yes. So if your house is worth $500,000 now and next year it's worth $600,000, you gained $100,000 of equity.
But that has nothing to do with how much money you own it.
Yeah, you might have been paid off or you might have owed $400,000 on it. It will still be worth $600,000 next year. Or if it loses value, it will also lose value whether you owe money on it or not. So the equity that changes has nothing to do with your mortgage. Your money in the house is not invested. It is not earning anything. Now, you know, you might be thinking, well, if I take it out, I'll have to pay interest. So, you know, that's going to go against whatever I earn as well. And so it is, you know, that's a good thing to think about. Make sure you have more interest that you could earn than what you're going to pay in interest. That's a conversation you should have. But just having it sitting aside in the house, it really does not make sense for most people. What if you have an emergency? What if you need to get to that money? Well, the only two ways to get money out of a house are to take a mortgage out or to sell it. If you have an emergency that requires you to access a large amount of money all at once, that means you probably have some financial trouble, which would make it not possible for you to get a loan. So you won't be able to get a loan when you need to. And if you want to sell it, it may not be the right time to sell. The market might be in a down year, and it's not a good time to sell your house.
Or you have to settle for less because you need the money fast.
Right. So having a paid-off house is not a secure thing in retirement. Really, any real estate you want to have a mortgage on, if at all possible. And then you should have the money to pay off the house. So financial security or financial independence with regard to your house is having enough money to pay it off and not doing so.
Yeah. So if you have $1 million house, it's nice to have $1 million in assets that you could always pay the house off if you wanted to, but you don't want to. And that way the house, you still aren't paying mortgage on, it's fine. But you know what? If you really have a hiccup and you really have to pay it off for whatever reason, I can't think of a reason, but if you do, you can always pay it off. But if the other way, you can't. If you have $1 million house that's paid off and you need the money, you may not be able to get the money out. You might only be able to sell it for $700,000 because it's a fire sale and you got to get the money quick. Now you just lost $300,000.
Exactly.
It's not a good idea.
So what do some of our clients use their home equity for in retirement? Well, one is for emergencies. If they don't have the house paid off, they have the money somewhere else, they can use it for emergencies like they just talked about.
Yeah, they can also use it to convert to Roth, IRA to Roth. They can use home equity. And the reason to use home equity to convert an IRA to Roth is once it's converted to Roth, you can always take the money out of a Roth. You just can't add money to it.
So let's back up a bit. You're saying I can turn my house into an IRA, a Roth IRA?
No. What I'm saying is, if you want to convert your IRA to Roth, you got to come up with the money from someplace. What if I have the money?
So I have $500,000 in IRA, and I want to convert it to Roth, so I have to pay the tax on that to make it Roth. So that $500,000, let's say I'm going to pay $150,000 in taxes.
So I may not have $150,000 in cash. So what do I do?
Well, we can withhold it from the IRA. Now I have only $350,000 in the IRA, but it's all Roth.
Yeah. So that's one option. But if you decide you won't do that, you can't add more money to the Roth because it's limited.
Right.
So if you take the money from someplace else, well, I don't have money, but I have equity. I have $500,000 of equity in the house. So I could take $150,000 of that equity out, pay the money, pay the taxes on that IRA conversion. Now I still have $500,000 in Roth instead of only $350,000.
And it's all tax-free. So then next year you have a heart attack and you say, and despite what you say, Raz and Daniel, I'm actually still stressed. I want to pay off the house. Well, take it out of the Roth IRA now and pay off the house. There's no tax. But the other way around would not work. If you reduce your IRA and pay the tax out of the IRA, then you will never be able to contribute more to it later on that level if you decide later that, oh, yeah, I could have used home equity. So a lot of our clients do use home equity to pay the taxes on Roth conversions because the money is not gone. It's still accessible. You can still take it back out of the IRA and pay off the house later if you want to.
So we're all about options. We want you to have as many options for as long as possible so you can make decisions and you can change decisions if the times and present themselves to be different. So having the options gives you more choices instead of taking choices away from you. And mortgages are good. That's what we're hearing. There's about 11 or a dozen reasons why you should have a mortgage. And that's just one of them. The other thing also is we get people all the time is, you know, what about refinancing? You know, I got a mortgage and it's at 6% and they just offered me to refinance at 5.5%. Is it worth it? I mean, so drop my mortgage payment down by $200. Is that worth it?
Well,
it depends, right?
It depends.
It depends on how many years have you been paying the mortgage. If you've been paying it for more than 8 years, then no, it's not better to refinance. Even if you go down to 3% from 6%, it may still not be in your best interest to refinance. And why is that?
Well, because the way amortization works, most of the interest is paid up front in the first few years. So once you're past the first 5, 6, 7 years of a 30-year mortgage, almost all your money now, or a lot more of it anyway, is going towards principal. So you're not paying nearly as much interest.
So even though you, on paper, it says you have a 6% interest, you may actually only be paying 1 or 2% in actual interest. The rest of it's principal.
Exactly. Now, what if you have extra money, Rez, and you want to pay extra towards the mortgage? Is it useful to pay extra to pay it down faster?
Don't do it. Unless you have a variable interest rate, this rate's going up and you want to get out of it or you want to refinance, it does not make sense to pay extra to the mortgage.
So, you know, what about a shorter term, 15 years instead of 30 years?
Absolutely not. Again, we like mortgages. We like using other people's money. If you're using other people's money, your money is free to use for other things. And you can always pay off the other people, but it's harder to get the other people to come in onto partnership when you need the money.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. You lock yourself into a 15-year mortgage, which is a higher payment because you got to pay off the house faster.
But it's a lower interest rate.
It's a lower interest rate, but you can afford it. So go ahead and take the higher payment. Well, no. I mean, if you lose your job or let's say you're retired and you have some other financial difficulty, maybe one spouse dies and their pension goes away, you know, there's some kind of financial thing that changes that causes you to have trouble paying that mortgage payment. Well, if it was a 15-year payment, it's a much higher payment. If it's a 30-year, you could have invested the difference and put it someplace aside, and now that can be making the payments. So you don't have as much of an obligation to pay a high amount every month if it's a 30-year mortgage. It's much better to stretch those payments out as long as possible.
So getting a 15, a 10-year, or 20-year mortgage is not as good as having a 30-year mortgage for a lot of reasons. One, a main reason is options. We want you to have more options, not less options.
Because you could always pay it off faster if you really wanted to. We usually recommend that our clients don't in most circumstances. But you could pay it off faster. Mm-hmm. A 30-year mortgage, you could pay it off in 15. But a 15-year, you cannot go stretch that into 30 just because you choose later to do that.
Again, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And if that's really, you really, really, really have to be mortgage-free at some time sooner rather than later. There's also another kind of mortgage called an all-in-one mortgage, where basically it's more of a home equity loan as opposed to a mortgage. And what happens there is you get your paycheck deposited into that home equity loan. And so all of it's going towards your mortgage, everything. But how do I pay my bills from that?
Well, then you take money back out to pay the bills. So you're kind of using your house as a credit card, basically. But that way, you're only charged interest on the amount of the balance due every day.
And if you have more income than expenses on a regular basis, then you could actually end up paying a 30-year mortgage off in 7 years or less if you're using this strategy. And this is a strategy that most bankers don't want you to know. Most mortgage companies don't want you to know. But it's a different way to pay off the mortgage. Again, not paying any extra money. You're not putting more money towards it.
And full disclosure, I mean, we're not mortgage brokers. We're not loan officers. We don't own a bank. So we don't set these plans up for clients. But we've had clients that have used some of those things in the past and have been successful.
And we can connect you with people that actually do those things. We just look at the math. So if you do the math and just stick with the math and don't stick with it, don't worry about emotions and other things, then you get actual mathematical information from us and make decisions based on facts rather than emotions.
And we're all about reducing stress in retirement. And that's why I said at the beginning of the segment that it really lowers your stress to have a mortgage, or should lower your stress to have a mortgage in retirement, as long as you have the means to pay it, or either pay the payment or hopefully even pay it off at some point. Just don't use it for that. And again, go to riskfeestaxes.com, our website, riskfeestaxes.com, to schedule an appointment, and we'll talk about how those things can impact you. Now, the other question that some people ask us is, well, I know a lot about mortgages because I've had mortgages all my life, but I've also heard this thing called a reverse mortgage, or a HECM, home equity conversion mortgage. What is that? Are reverse mortgages so evil and awful and wrong? I mean, I heard about the neighbor I had, she was in her 80s, and they kicked her out of her house because she had a reverse mortgage. And it's terrible. Nobody should ever have one of those.
A reverse mortgage is like anything else. It's just a tool. It just depends on what that is. You hear the horror stories, and the horror stories usually are somebody that is not on the mortgage and is living there for free, and their parent has a reverse mortgage. Well, when the parent passes away, their reverse mortgage becomes due, just like any mortgage becomes due. It doesn't matter whether it's reverse or not reverse, it becomes due. And if you can't pay the mortgage, then yes, you're going to be kicked out of the house. So if you want your child to remain in this house, then maybe a reverse mortgage is not the best option. But if the reverse mortgage will allow you to stay in the house longer, then maybe it is better for you. It just depends. It's a tool.
So if you have a paid off house already and you're over the age of 62, and you're thinking, well, I like what you're saying about accessing home equity, but I really don't want to have to make a payment every month. Even though I have enough interest in the investments, I could do it. I really don't like making payments. Well, you could have a home equity line that's accessible, or you could actually take a reverse mortgage where the house pays you and it turns your house into a pension. For some people, that is very useful because you get income out of your house and you don't have to ever make a payment. The balance is not due until you die. And if you're married, it's not due until both of you die.
But they can't kick you out no matter what, so long as you live there at least one day a year, you're not renting it, and you're paying the taxes and insurance. So long as that's the case, they can't kick you out.
So we're a big fans in Higher Ground of having mortgages in retirement if it's set up properly, and if you have financial freedom and independence with other surplus cash that you could use in an emergency.
Riskfeestaxes.com. Find out more. If you have questions, we're out of time in this segment. Riskfeestaxes.com. Talk to us. We'll hopefully see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with tax attorney Daniel Rasby. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.